We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew. This is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. We've had an interesting week. We've had a Mitch Lightfoot start. We've had a loss to maybe the worst team in the Big 12 at home. And a nice little comeback win. Andrew, how you feeling?
I don't know. I think I feel okay. I don't feel great. But we're still tied for first in the Big 12 with our destiny in our own hands. Got some very tough games coming up. You know, we got two away games, and then really we have West Virginia, Oklahoma, Texas Tech, and that's the season. That's the season right there. So we didn't give ourselves any room for error, especially at home, Kevin. Especially at home.
Yeah, that the magical fog elixir. We need to go back to the scientists and make sure that it's still there. I think it is, but like we need to get a medium in there and make sure that we still have the fog, right?
I think so. So we don't have much planned for this episode. We just kind of want to talk about these two games, kind of get everyone previewed for the next couple. Talk about some big highlights, including Mitchell Lightfoot, Martini Room Mitch had a, I don't know if he had a big week, but he's now in the starting lineup, which is it's something we'll probably need to spend most of the podcast talking about. But before we get into Oklahoma State, before we get into TCU, before we get into these next couple away games, let's talk about Allen Fieldhouse. And I just want us to do this off the cuff. What do we need to do, us as fans, the university as purveyors and runners, executors of this building, the team as itself, what do we need to do, not on the court, off the court, to get this place back to where it needs to be? And I'll tell you, Kevin, I don't think it needs to be louder. I think in all these games, it's been plenty loud.
I got a couple ideas here. Again, just totally off the cuff. We haven't talked about this. Number one, we got to bring back the dancing nachos.
Well, and we know that they're willing to do that. So when did they get that video board? Was that 2005?
Something like that. We were in school. I was in school.
I think I was in school too. So we had the old video board, I think up until 2005, with the lights, you know, the 70s, 80s, 90s style light up lights, and they would do little figures. It was mostly, you couldn't do a whole lot with it. It was not LCD. It was not anything. But they did have the dancing nachos. And they would play that occasionally on the new LCD screens.
Yeah.
And which was a nice throwback, which is a nice nod.
Well, they still have it for, what do they do it on? Is it foul? Do they show the old thing for fouls? Remember the old?
Oh, yeah. I think so. And it's like the guy, yeah, he's blowing the whistle. He's got a big nose.
Yeah. So they still have some of those things around. Here's what they need to do. They need to go back to bring this dancing nachos. And you go back to the foul 1, 2, 3, the foul, like the whistle thing, make sure that's like a permanent fixture. And then, I don't know, Andrew, like really all I've got is the dancing nachos. Like, I think if we bring that back, that's all we need, but
all we need. I mean, that's a lot, but I don't know if it gets
cheese. Cheese.
Yeah. I have a couple things. Let me
cheese thing.
I know the cheese comes down on the nachos. I know that. I know. I know what nachos are.
Cheese.
Okay, I got one for you. We need to embrace this Booyah song. You know the Booyah song, right?
I do.
Okay, yeah. So this, the first time I heard the song in Allen Fieldhouse, and it may have been played before this, was last year at Oklahoma, where we made this miraculous comeback, and every time they played that song, the place lost its mind. Mm-hmm. It was like Sandstorm at K-State. It's basically our Sandstorm. And so I think we should steal that concept from our friends to the west in Manhattan, Kansas, and use Booyah like K-State uses Sandstorm. Play it at the right time. Do you know when they played Booyah last night, Kevin?
When?
10 seconds left, when the game was over.
What?
When I think there was a foul with 10 seconds left.
I think we've identified this, Andrew. It's not anything but the person running the sound and the video. Like, we need to replace both those people.
Well, we just need to tell them we need to get this timing right. Playing Booyah, we needed Booyah to be played 4 minutes left, and it would have been over. We wouldn't have to deal with this.
There's a time when you play Booyah, and there's a time when you play pop-up video, and those two times are not always just like whenever it feels right. You know? Right.
You can go into it with a plan. You know, you know, at the under 16 timeout, we're going to do this. At the under 12 timeout, we're going to do this. First timeout called by a team, we're going to have the dance team come out. Mm-hmm. You can come in with a plan. And you know what? It's kind of like a football team coming in with the first series sketched out. First series all drawn out. These are the plays we're going to run this first series. But then it's all up in the
it's
air.
Game flow.
Then it's
game
all
flow.
Improv.
It's game flow. It's time and score. It's just like this. You're on the coaching staff.
Right. You need to manage the game just like Bill Self needs to manage the game. And that starts with the knockout punch of this Booyah song, because the people in Allen Fieldhouse, the people of Lawrence, Kansas, love that song. Me included. So don't give it to us when the game's over 10 seconds left. We needed that way early.
Yeah.
Going back to our example of Fast and Furious, you push the NOS. You don't push it right when you're going to cross the finish line. You needed it about 50 yards back to get across that finish line. So I'm looking for Booyah to be played about 4 minutes if it's a close game. Give us that last push under four timeout.
Under four, yep.
Or you know what? Wherever the game flow dictates it, but we got to have – it has to be thought about. It has to be played precisely.
I got another one. We got to get rid of the smile cam. There's nothing good about the smile cam.
I will give you that. However,
there's nothing good about the smile
cam. The last time I was there, I did like someone had an app that had someone else's face on a smile. Okay. And so he put the phone up to his mouth and it was like someone else smiling.
All right, that's kind of cool.
That's the best use of the smile cam I've seen since it was invented in 2002.
I always love the smile cam. I love the smile cam. It always comes down right after some other team has gone on some run and like just took the score or just took the lead, and they're like, "All right, Jayhawk fans, now it's time for the smile cam." And everyone's like, "The smile cam." No one wants to do it. But yeah, that's the it's all timing, Andrew.
We need to run all of these things like we run the game. All of these things are important to game flow.
Yeah, just like Udoka's working on his free throws, the sound and video guy should be in the in Allen Fieldhouse right now practicing. They should be practicing, right. Playing game flow, playing
going
out situational
scenarios.
Basketball.
Right.
Yep, playing right now.
You know,
practice.
You know, 3:30 on the clock. We just had our under four timeout. We're down two. They have the ball. What do you do? Well, you play Booyah.
Well, you play Booyah. It's not that hard either. Like, you just hit play.
Right. And if you've already played Booyah, do you risk playing it again?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you have a couple of shots in the shotgun.
You have to think about these things. This can't be willy-nilly. So those are another thing. I think we need to get more creative on the free throw psych outs.
I agree. That's been pretty lame recently.
For the past
they're not trying that
years,
hard.
The past 3 or 4 years, I don't think they're coordinated enough. Like, they're not.
No.
It's people are being selfish about it, I think.
Yep, you're right.
They're being selfish about it. And I say this, and I say this with love as someone who used to do this. No, well, just generally participate in this. When they all go down and start banging their feet and then they all jump up, too many people stay standing up because
it's about them. The three people can get away with standing up, and all three
but
of them are men, and all three of them
30.
Show their lift their shirt up.
Right.
Remember there was always the guy who stand up and take his shirt off.
But there's too many of those.
There's too many of exactly right. That at some point there's a point of diminishing returns, and now you're just people standing up.
Right. It's no different than
doing nothing.
Right. And then with the waving the hands, we don't necessarily do the fast move it, to the other direction
always
anymore.
At the wrong time.
Well, and they don't even do that. It's just everybody waves back and forth. It's not even a real. Yeah. So we gotta get everybody back on the same page in terms of our free throw distractions, and then I think we're back because I think the noise is great. I think the energy is great from the crowd. Obviously, it's full every time. I mean, all those things are coming together. It's just these little things we need to take care of. And I think we'll be back to where we need to be.
Yep. Yep. I'm with you. We're on the same page here.
Let's jump in and talk about Oklahoma State, where obviously these things didn't work out.
Nope.
this is a game. Can you think of a game like this in the past, in the Bill Self era, where this is not supposed to happen? And like, we usually get out of games like this, or we're not even close to this. This isn't even something you can think that would or consider to have happened. Like, this is the first one. You know, back to like maybe that ORU game.
Richmond. Oral Robert. What was the other one? Nevada.
Nevada
that team was
good.
Pretty good. That
Physicus was
a team. Yeah, that was pretty good. I don't know. This was a weird game. It wasn't quite like, you know, like the Arizona State game. I mean, they were undefeated coming in. Kansas actually had the lead at half in that game and then let Arizona State score 58 second half points. This game, we had a 13-point deficit at halftime. I mean, it was just a beating in the first half and then just dug ourselves too big of a hole. No, I can't really think of a team or a game quite like this against an opponent like this. You know what I mean? Where we dug such a deep hole and then didn't come back. Because we've dug holes before and then came back. This was not that. And Oklahoma State, like, I'll say this. We've talked about this a little bit. I don't think they're an awful team. I mean, they're not like a bad team. They beat Florida State, which is a good team. They obviously beat Oklahoma, which is a good team. They beat us. I mean, they beat Texas. I mean, they've got some good wins. You know, they lost by a couple at K-State. Like, this is not like a team that's bad. Like, they lost by 4 points at Texas Tech. They lost by 1 point at Arkansas. I mean, these are close games against tournament teams. And so, like, I'm not upset that we lost to Oklahoma State, because I think Oklahoma State's fine. It was just the way we lost, you know? It was the competitiveness. It was the rebounding. It was just the body language. It was just bad, you know? Just no energy. And Bill certainly had some takes on it after the game, and even the, you know, end of the weekend. Which resulted in one Martini Room Mitch getting his first start.
And you know what? Maybe we just move right into that. I don't know if I have much more to say about this Oklahoma State game other than I think it's really one of those ones where you either burn the tape because, you know, it's an anomaly, or you really kind of take heart to what your issues are. Because I think we were exposed in a lot of ways. Rebounding. What happens when they do make shots? Because I think, you know, I read that Jesse Newell article. Did you read that from the Star about how KU? It was basically about how KU was allowing opponents to shoot 28% from three, which is way below league average. Yeah. And that would eventually come back up, and that's worth X amount of points. Well, that happened. That certainly happened in the last two games.
Yeah, certainly.
That percentage came way up, and we kind of see where that happened. But, you know we're deficient rebounding. Allowing offensive rebounds is a huge problem.
That was the biggest part of that game, right? It was second chance points, and it was you know, allowing them to get so many offensive. Like, that was really the main reason we lost that game. That in Oklahoma State. Like, to their credit, whenever we started to make a run, they made a shot. I mean, it was just like that Arizona State game. We started getting back in it, and then they'd bust a three. They'd get in the lane and make a three-point play. It was just they had answers to our runs. And that, Andrew, tells me that Allen Fieldhouse just quite isn't working as well. It goes back to our first point. When we start to make the run, when a team is up in Kansas during at Allen Fieldhouse and we start to make the run, the other team is supposed to fold, right?
Right.
Like that's how that works. And they haven't been folding, Andrew. And so that, yeah, that's, we'll talk about this a little bit more when we talk Big 12, but that was kind of the difference in the game. Obviously, offensive rebounds were the big one. But
okay. Anyway. Well, a couple questions on Mitch. Do you think that Bill Self made the move to Mitch Lightfoot in the starting lineup more because of scheme and strategy or more because LeGerald Vick is in a huge slump?
Yeah, that was a Vick thing. I mean, and maybe the better question is, was it to reward Mitch for being, you know, a crazy energy guy or to penalize Vick for bad play? Like, what was it? I think even more on that question, it's still the penalizing Vick. I mean, Vick is struggling, man. Like, he's not himself. He's not there. He's not active. I mean, even in the TCU game, I think he tried hard, but he still kind of sucked.
he was definitely better in the TCU.
He was better. He was better, but, you know, I'm not sure. I don't know what his plus minus was. I don't know that he was. He obviously didn't do a ton on offense, but again, he did play better. But I like, what's better? Was he better than Marcus Garrett?
Maybe not.
Marcus played pretty well.
In setting aside this TCU game, I think that LeGerald Vick and Malik Newman have been exactly inverse of each other as the season has gone on. Very weird, where Malik struggled early and Vick looked like a lottery pick, looked like a first round pick. And that is definitely went the exact opposite direction of each other, where Malik, one doesn't necessarily look like a lottery pick or draft pick this year, certainly has stepped it up and has been scoring greatly up until his TCU game. And Vick has just, you know, fallen off the earth, where he lost his starting spot, where earlier in the year we were saying that Vick may be the second best person on the team. You know, if we go back to an earlier podcast, I think we were making direct comments about how LeGerald Vick is the best player on the team.
He was playing great, going
both ways. And that was with some Devontae things going on and some different perspectives on Devontae. But we had high things to say about Vick, and those things are not present anymore. And if this team wants to go far, if this team wants to go, you know, deep into March, he's got to be there.
How many rebounds do you think he had in his 29 minutes of play?
TCU?
Yeah.
Four.
One.
He had one?
One rebound.
And with his, I mean, he's not the biggest guy, but with his athleticism, he's got to do better.
He did have an assist. He did have a steal. He had 10 points, 3 for 9. He did make all 4 of his free throws. Like, I'm just box score looking right now, which is not really the thing to do. But I didn't realize he played 29 minutes. He played more than I thought he did. Mitch played 22.
Mitch came out pretty quick. I mean, and they probably ended up getting the
Mitch
same amount
the
of
first
time.
8 minutes, didn't he? I thought Mitch played for a long time to start the game.
Did Azubuike got a foul early, right?
Yeah. Well, so I think Mitch did too, but he left him in. So
that's enough about Vic. Let's talk about Mitch. Mitch gets his 22 minutes, but he starts. Because, I mean, the quote that's been going around is that if you cut Mitch Lightfoot open, a Jayhawk pours out.
I love that. holding a martini. Like, the Jayhawk is holding a martini.
Hey.
And like, giving you, like, a little...
A little wink. A little winky come hither.
Yeah, like Buddy Christ, like Buddy Hawk, like, giving you a little wink. Like, hey. Holding a martini.
It's Mitch.
I'm the Jayhawk inside Mitch.
All right.
Yeah, man. He's listen, I've not been a big Mitch guy.
Until now. Past couple weeks, I think you're in on it.
What changed it for you
is the nickname.
The nickname. Yeah. He needed a nickname. Oh, man, we've been telling him, though, that he needs tats. Like, if he'd have got a tattoo, it'd have done the same thing.
what's the deal? All right, so if we're just talking about Mitch generally, Mitch makes 1 3-pointer a couple games ago at halftime, and now he's got a shooting sleeve? He's got a shooting sleeve after making one shot.
Shooter's got to shoot, man.
Shooter shoot, Mitch.
Shooter shoot. Oh, man. He had 2 blocks in that game. He's still the best shot blocker on the team. Maybe not named Sfi. I think Sfi and Mitch are the best shot blockers on the team. He has 4 rebounds and 6 blocks in 22 minutes, 3 for 5 from the field. He did have a steal. He added possessions. You know, that's his kind of game. He's still not a very good defender, like just on ball defender. And if he's not in like great position for a rebound, he gets pushed around. But other than that, like, you know, whatever. He obviously, I think Self said it best. He's like, he might screw up, but he's going to screw up trying really hard. So like, you can't really get mad at that, except when he has to guard like Mo Bamba or something. And then you can get mad. Against Vlad Brodzianski, which I think we had this exact talk last time we played TCU and Mitch had a good game. And you're like, Mitch is great. I was like, he's playing Vlad Brodzianski, who's another like regular white dude. But you know what? More power to him. Like, go
well,
ahead, Mitch.
Fran Fraschilla on the commentary last night said, you know what? Mitch is going to try to be a Vlad Brodzianski when he's a senior. I'm like, you know what? Mitch is Mitch.
don't you shoehorn Mitch into Vlad.
Don't put him into that Vlad box.
No.
The
Brodzianski
box. Mitch is Mitch. Mitch is going to do him.
Mitch is going to Mitch, man. Mitch, please. All right. What else do we have to talk about from that game? Doke looked good.
Doke from TCU? Are we moving on to TCU?
Yeah, we're moving on to TCU. I don't want to talk about
TCU. Well, let's talk about Doke. And I want to talk about it because I love dunks.
Yeah.
Do you love dunks?
No, I'm real high on dunks.
Yeah, I'm big into dunks. Always have been. I don't know if you knew that. And when Doke gets dunks, I'm starting to appreciate Doke's. You know, he's got these like up and under moves that like look pretty elegant, except they're very violent at the end.
Yeah, if he could develop a drop step, I think he would double his dunks. He kind of keeps going to that same move. Now, that same move keeps working. So, like, whatever, especially when he doesn't get doubled. But if I think he needs to start fooling him with a little drop step. And I think he'd develop his game. That's coming. That's the second act of Doke. But, man, he's fun to watch.
He had that little move where it looked like a normal person would go up for a layup because he kind of made that movement. But he just went up and threw it down very violently. And it's kind of shocking. It kind of shocks the system. Like, you
love
know
it.
He can dunk like that. But so, you know, get him around the basket with some space. And, you know, there he is.
My favorite part about this game, Andrew, was that he had 11 boards. And it seemed like to me, and maybe it's just the way I was watching the game. It seemed to me like every time he got a rebound, he did it as violently as he dunks the ball.
Well,
he was going up and like grabbing it like with 2 hands with wide elbows, like do not get close to me or you will regret it type of rebound. Like, I want to see him do that more.
Well,
you know,
and Bill Self did mention in the post game that Doke has been developing a kind of above the rim rebounding game where he does go up and get it.
That's what
rather than just being big and in the right spot.
We have nobody else who can play above the rim at a rebound. Like, nobody else. Except
Vic
for
sometimes.
Okay.
But Doke's going to be has to be your rebounder. I mean, if he can go up and get the ball, you're going to be a lot more successful as in just being there when the ball falls. And you know what? He's big and knows how to put himself in decent position to get those rebounds, but that other piece to it is important as well. And I think that, you know, that's something that he's going to have to be better at for NBA purposes and for us to be successful down the road. But, you know, he's getting better.
He is. He is. How impressed are you with how light he is on his feet?
Like, well, and that gets back to what I was saying. Like, yeah, he was, you know, clunking around.
He does not look tired either. Like that, I've been just extremely impressed with him, just from a basic movement standpoint from last year to this year.
Like, well, it's even night from and day. November, December to now. Yeah.
He just seems light on his feet. I mean, he's a light 270 pounds or whatever he is, you know, for his size, man. I've been extremely impressed with him. If he continues to kind of lighten up like that, I think he does have a, you know, a potential NBA career. I'm not sure right now his body type, you know, just lends itself perfectly to the NBA game. But if he can continue to be that, you know, go out and get those boards and develop that game a little bit. And he's a great, the one nice thing he has for the league is he's a really good ball screen defender. Like he can actually hedge those pretty well and move and get back. That's one nice thing he's got going for him. And that goes back to the light on his feet though. Like he can do that movement, block the defender and then get back. I've just been really impressed with
him. You want to talk about free throws?
I'd love to talk about free throws. Doak was 4 for 7 from the free throw line, and I will take that every single night.
So that puts him at 50-60%, you know, in between there. That's probably where he needs to be, right?
It's 57%. And the only reason I know this is I was listening to the post game last game, and he also went 4 for 7 last game. Or was it the game before? Anyway, he went 4 for 7. And Self in the post game goes, "What'd Doak go? 4 for 7? Yeah, what is that, 57%? And I started thinking to myself, I was like, I think that's literally 57%. And then I looked it up, and it was like 57%. And I wanted to know, did Self do that math in his head? Or does he just know 4 for 7 from the free throw line is 57%? Or did someone write it out for him? Well, he did it so
casually. He's been playing basketball and coaching basketball long enough to know of what a box score percentage is going to look like. When it's you know, you see 4 for 7 all the time from the free throw line. Like, he's going to know.
So he was 4 for 7 against the Oklahoma State game, or in the Oklahoma State game, and 4 for 7 in the TCU game. That's after going 3 for 13 in his previous three games.
So he went, that's 8 for 14 in the past two. You know, yep. What? Well, take it and run.
Take it and run.
His form still is terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know what he actually changed. They're just going in.
Whatever, man. 4 for 7 is the best he's done all year, except for a couple of 1 for 1 games. Literally, that's it.
You know, one other thing about free throws, and before we move on, is he did not shoot the worst free throw last night.
Oh man, yeah, that was an air ball like by 3 feet.
Yeah, it wasn't even close. What was his name? Hamdi.
Yeah.
From let me
that was
pull
weird.
Up his name.
That was his not good.
Ahmed, right. Hamdi, yeah, terrible. And okay. So I felt better for Doak because of that. He's like, wow, he's not going to embarrass himself that much.
Yeah, look at that guy.
He may have had an ear ball earlier this year, but just one, and not
just
that
one.
Bad.
Just one.
So any other thoughts from the TCU game? You know, obviously, Doak had a great game. Devontae came around, at least from the scoring perspective and filling up the shot chart. I still think that there was some, I don't know. I just don't think that
he's tired.
Devontae is the decision maker we want him to be.
He's
yet.
Tired.
Yeah.
He's playing too much, man. Actually, so I tweeted something about, man, like, Devontae's game is starting to make it, like, it's showing a little bit that he's tired. And I got all this like response, like, whatever, he's scoring 24 points, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, I agree. He's saving it all for offense. Like, he's getting completely destroyed on defense. Like, they're just going right past him right now. But they weren't earlier in the game. It was all fatigue at the end of the game. And I think he just gets tired. He's sleepy at the end of the game. He's played 40 minutes for seven straight games.
So, you know, Devontae up and down, but he did get the points in this game against
TCU.
Yeah,
he played well. Over.
And we did see Svi, 1 point.
Whoa,
Malik didn't
yeah.
score until late.
That was weird.
That's something. I mean, those two guys combined for almost 30 points a game, and we get a combined, you know, a handful.
Yeah, that was weird.
One from Svi, a handful from Malik. I think that's an anomaly, but for Svi to not attempt a field goal, I don't think he attempted a field goal. Didn't even get a shot off.
Yeah, it was kind of spooky. I agree with you. And it wasn't he obviously didn't pass any up. Like, you never saw him like, Svee, shoot. You know what I mean? They were clearly defending him in a way that was not letting him get those shots. But, you know, yeah, that was kind of weird. It will be something to watch a little bit, I think, to see what.
He did have two field goal attempts, 1 3-point attempt. He went 1 for 2 from the line. But that's, if we're going to win games, Svee has to have the ball in his hands. At least, you know, you got to get him off some picks. You got to get him open, because that's not going to cut it. And Malik, not too far off. Now, Malik did take some field goals. He just went 1 for 9, 0 for 5 from 3. A little different story, but, you know, if Devontae's having an off night, which we've seen him do, and you can reasonably expect with him playing that many minutes, somebody's got to pick up the load. This isn't a thing where we've got all this offensive firepower that's guaranteed from a bunch of different spots, and you get to pick.
And that's somebody.
We've got to have it all going.
Is Martini Room Mitch. Yeah, boy. He's going to be draining corner threes with a shooting sleeve.
Shooting sleeve, Mitch. You know, Martini Room Mitch. Martini, you know, he's got give it to Mitch. He's got the confidence to put on that shooting sleeve, because, you know what? Shooters shoot. He knows this. Shooters shoot.
Let's talk about the Big 12 for a minute.
Okay.
So the Big 12 conference, right now, Kansas and Texas Tech tied at the lead. No, I guess Kansas actually has a half game lead.
Texas Tech plays tonight.
They play tonight. Okay. What's going on in there? They're playing right now.
Good question.
Real time update.
Good podcasting. We can live call it and call it right now.
Ooh, they're up 11-5, so we're gonna go ahead and give them the win. So they're tied 8-3, 8-3 record along with Kansas. And I was looking.
And if they aren't, that'd be a great story. Like, hopefully, you know, they do lose this game to Iowa State at home. But
I don't think it's gonna happen.
Let's go ahead and put them at 8-3. So they're tied with KU.
Tied with KU. And I was looking at KenPom. And KenPom currently has Kansas and Texas Tech tied at a 12-6 final record projected. Andrew, my question to you is this. Would you take 12-6 in a tie in the Big 12?
Yeah.
Me too. Me too in a heartbeat. Me too in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
That means one more loss the rest of the year. I'm sorry. I guess it'd be two more losses.
It'd be three more losses.
Hang on. Is that right?
Yeah, we're 8-3, 12-6.
You're right.
Yeah,
math is hard. So I don't know. Do you think that's going to happen? So Kansas has here's Kansas' remaining schedule. We play at Baylor on Saturday. That's probably a coin flip. Maybe we're favored by a couple. Iowa State away, and you know, KenPom's got us winning by 7. I think if that game is played 10 times, we lose 4 of them at Hilton. Maybe not. Maybe it's less than that. And then we've got West Virginia at home, which at this point is probably a coin flip. We've got Oklahoma at home, which I think I like us in that game. But
yeah,
still,
we need some revenge. We need some redemption there. I feel better.
I like us in that game.
Actually, that game is our highest percentage likelihood of winning other than Texas at home.
Isn't that crazy?
The rest of the way.
I thought that was kind of weird. I saw that too.
This is on per KenPom, but like everything else is like in the 60s. Oklahoma at home is 74.
I guess Iowa State's 75.
Okay,
but still.
But still, it's all close together, yeah.
And then we go to Texas Tech. That's probably, you know, at this point, you have to project it as a loss. But, you know, never know. That's obviously the control your own destiny game. And then Texas at home and close at Oklahoma State in another revenge game. So, and they'll probably be playing for, my guess is nothing, right? Unless they go on some crazy win. So, although they've got wins against Kansas and Oklahoma, never know. So, Oklahoma State, let me check this. What's Oklahoma State's current record?
4-7.
4-7. They got games left against K-State, TCU, Tech, Texas, Iowa State. Probably not. Okay. The point is, Andrew, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games left. You would take 4-3 if that got you a Big 12 tie?
Yes.
Ooh, yeah, I think I would too.
Yes.
Now, would you take 5-2 right now and not know whether we won the Big 12?
I want to win the Big 12.
See, I would take 5-2 right now because I think that's at least a share of the Big 12. I don't know if Texas Tech. So here's Texas Tech. Would you agree that Texas Tech is our biggest challenger, or do you think West Virginia is still right there?
I think Texas Tech's the biggest challenger. So because we have a home, we have to go to Lubbock, and we're tied with them.
So Texas Tech has to go to West Virginia still, but otherwise, and that's pretty much their toughest game. They have an easier schedule than us. They've got Iowa State tonight, K-State away, probably their second hardest game, maybe. And then got Oklahoma at home, which they're projected similarly to kill, 75%. Baylor away, Oklahoma State away, Kansas at home, West Virginia away, TCU at home. I think their schedule is easier than ours. And so we're tied tonight. Let's say we're tied tonight. I think 5-2 I would take.
Yeah. Ooh,
that's tough, man. This is starting to get interesting. So
it's going to be an interesting race. And I think that, you know, I think Texas Tech is the biggest. I mean, don't count out West Virginia. Don't count out Oklahoma. They still have a shot to climb back in. But I think those are the two teams you look at. We could certainly fade if things don't go right. But, you know, I think that we play well on the road. And if we can get things fixed at home, I think we'll be in a good spot. But this thing, when people were saying, oh, KU has it wrapped up, that's not what KU fans were thinking.
We talked about that.
Because we knew this was going to be here. We knew the rest of the way. We knew how our team was playing. We knew how the rest of the teams were playing. We knew how the schedule lined out. So anybody who was trying to do that was just trying to put a reverse jinx on Kansas.
Or just trying to get
Don't
clicks.
Play that game. Don't play that game.
Don't play that game. Do not play that game.
Here, we've got a long way to go. 7 games against some pretty tough competition when we're not playing our best. But you know what? Bill's going to get him coached up. Let's move on and talk about the next couple games. We've got Baylor on Saturday in Waco. You know, I think we're just a handful of favorite per Ken Pom. I mean, it's one point. But it's the Farrell Center. Baylor's Baylor. We didn't play well against them at home. We had to hang on to get that victory. Kevin, give me a prediction on this Baylor game.
So this game scares me, Andrew. I've said for a long time that I think Baylor's a much better team than their record. I still think that's true, even though they continue to prove me – make me look dumb. Their only wins this year in the Big 12. Get this. You ready? Oklahoma State twice. Iowa State once. And at home against Texas.
Wow.
They have no other wins of note against any. No TCU. No Tech. No West Virginia. No Kansas State. No Oklahoma. Nobody. So they've beat nobody. At home or away, basically, other than those three teams. So, but I'm telling you, this game scares me a little bit because I think that Baylor is obviously hungry for a game that they need. They need to win a game to get back in the bubble, right?
They're off the bubble. They're definitely off the bubble. They've got a long way to go. They've got a long way to go to get back in the tournament picture.
Yeah, you're right. And actually, looking back at their resume, it's not that great. I mean, they got a win against Creighton, which is a good one in a neutral court. They beat Wisconsin, who's not that good. Yeah, actually, you know what? They don't have a good resume at all. Oklahoma State's got a way better resume. So they're going to have to either go bonkers down the stretch here or they're out of it. So I guess, maybe they're looking at the mirror and go, man, we got to beat Kansas to have a chance at this. So, I mean, it's going to be a big game for them, obviously. And I just continue to be concerned about their team. I really, really like a couple of their pieces, and I am very confused why it hasn't been very good.
Right. Well, I don't know. It's just one of those things where we got to get things put together on the road. I think we can do that, especially against a Farrell Center that's, you know, probably going to be the most full it's been all year. If you looked at some of those Baylor games, pretty empty there in the Farrell Center down there in Waco. Kevin, and then let's talk about going to Ames, Iowa next Tuesday, going to Hilton Coliseum.
Thinking about going to this game.
Okay, so when do you want to podcast again? We'll just hash it out here. Do you want to do it on Sunday, or do you want to do it after this Iowa State game to give it enough time?
I don't know. We're going to
Or do you want to get back on our Sunday schedule? Okay, well, people at home, we'll do it when we do it. Get over it.
We'll try to do Sundays. Sunday was working for a while there, and then we started thinking, like, well, we should do it after this game. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But, yeah, the Iowa State game, Andrew, they are 12-10. They're 96th now in KenPom. They do have a couple of pretty good wins against Texas Tech at home and West Virginia at home. Both of those games, they won by 16 and 18 points. So,
which is more than we've won a Big 12 game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the other interesting part of that is in between those games, they lost by 23 points to Tennessee at home.
Oh.
Now, Tennessee's good. We saw Tennessee go beat, you know, Kentucky on the road last night. I think they're actually pretty good. But still, like, that's crazy. They can obviously turn it on and score, you know, 93 points against a good team. So we got to be careful there, obviously. That game scares me only because it's Hilton, but we should be able to win that game, I think. I mean, that's a game that I would be surprised if we don't win. Like, it wouldn't shock me if we lose at Baylor. I would be a little surprised if we lose at Baylor.
Right. Hilton Coliseum's tough, but, you know, just the way that these teams are, you know, they've gotten a lot better. I think this Iowa State team's gotten a lot better, and they're going to be a force next year, but we'll see how they are against KU. Okay,
they're not
going
to be afraid of us, though, because they only lost by a... one or two possessions at Kansas?
They'll be ready. They'll be ready. But, you know, similar with K-State, let's hope for the K-State scenario where a close game at home, and then we control the game away.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin, before we get out of here, you've put together some hay bales. I think I have a couple, one or two. So you go ahead, and then I'll chime in as well.
All right. Before we do that, let me just let you know, Iowa State has closed the gap. It is a 5-point game.
It's a 2-point game, 17-19.
Ooh, you're ahead of me.
I'm on the TV.
Hey, Bill, I'm not too superstitious or what have you, but I think Legere's struggles maybe stem from his hairdo. See, I've been on a particular lucky streak myself lately when it comes to scratchers, and it just so happens I got my hair done by my cousin Gerard last week. His real name is Jared, but when he cuts his hair, he likes to be called Gerard. Anywho, you want me to put Legere in touch with Gerard and go see him if he can get help and get his mojo back?
Hey, Bill, they say that if you cut Mitch Lightfoot open, a Jayhawk comes out. I was just got to thinking, what happens if you cut other players open? What do you think comes out of them? So, like, Sviatoslav, if you cut Sviatoslav open, I like to think that, like, maybe, like, a couple monkeys pop out. Or if, like, you cut Malik Newman, like, maybe, like, a bunch of Lucky Charms come out. You ever thought about that?
Hey, Bill, I know we've been having some struggles on the home court. I, too, been having some struggles on the home front. Seems my old lady wants to try to turn me, reform me into a vegan or something. I told her I'm a God-fearing Christian and I ain't no vegan. Anywho, I guess what I'm saying is we got some big games coming up at home, so you think we're going to get that cleaned up or what?
Just to get back to the cutting guys open part, Chris Tan, let's actually cut him open to see if something pops out. like maybe just like a bowl of spaghetti pops out, or maybe Connerteen pops out, and we realize why he's here to begin with.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So here's my idea. If anyone else has any ideas of what comes out of people when you cut them open, let us know. We'll share them on the podcast.
Yeah, tweet that, please. It's not morbid at all.
Hashtag cut player, KU players cut open.
KU players open. And see what pops out.
And see what pops out.
Hashtag cut KU players open and see what pops out. I will retweet any of those that are sent to me, by the way. But it has to have the entire hashtag. There you go. Andrew, let's get out of here. Got a couple of big games coming up this week. Hopefully a little better than this last week. We will be podcasting again at some point in the near future. We're not sure when, but it will be coming. It probably within a week. And so stay tuned for that. Catch us on the Twitter at Jayhawk Talk, at Sherlock Hoops. Until then, rock chalk.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us, they know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel, they know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing, with no team that's interfering, nine times get the cheering, with them banners held high, and the crowd going wild, night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now, yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans.
for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks, Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks, Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks.